All right, I wanted to make this before the pollen freaking kills me, because it's all over the place outside right now, and it is tearing up my sinus. I understand why people are on the fence about Falcon and the Winter Soldier. If you listen to any of my content, then you would understand that I really did not like WandaVision. But a lot of people, a lot of dumb motherfuckers, sat there and basically thought WandaVision was okay till it got to the end, in which it just dropped the ball, because, hey, it's the MCU. Far be it from them from ever dropping the fucking ball, which is something that they do all the time. But, hey, we expected different, and we got not different, and everyone was upset when everyone should have just went, well, duh, it is the MCU. But in the case of Falcon and the Winter Soldier, I'm basically getting a sense of deja vu, in which case that the first two episodes aren't really bad, and I just hope that it consistently stays the course to be an okay series. I didn't go into it expecting anything great, and honestly, I'm glad that I didn't, and there's nothing really that awe-inspiring or great from it. An action scene in the very beginning with Falcon, and that was just kind of whatever, and then you see exactly what him and Bucky are doing, coping with the aftermath of everything within the MCU up until this point, was a okay, wonderful, current, brought up to speed on exactly what they got going on with their current predicament. And, it was okay. The problem initially with all of the antagonistic things that are brought to light later on is much like with WandaVision, one of those situations where it's like, hey, we still have people who are capable of doing this. Why the fuck are they not here right now helping? You give absolutely no excuse, no reason, or anything, and we are all meant to go along with the story because of it. Now, this was a major problem with WandaVision, considering that she was fucking kidnapping people, and no one came to stop her, nor was there anyone that she would have known personally who would have been able to talk to her during anything, or the fact that they didn't even attempt to get anyone to talk to her. But, in the case of Falcon and the Winter Soldier, it's even more ridiculous because Falcon is now currently still doing missions as if he was still an Avenger. Thinking back to the fact that, before he was dusted, and yes, I still say dusted, before he was dusted and then disappeared for those years, he... 5 years? Yeah, he was dusted for those 5 years. Was it five or three? I can't remember. He was on the run from the law. They were bad, remember? And then immediately he comes back and now he's working for the government again. So it's kind of wonky exactly where they wanted to put the Falcon, because it made it seem like he had some type of understandable plight that he was dealing with in the first episode, but then in the second episode it's completely removed. The idea that another Captain America appeared is the biggest and worst problem that he has to deal with in his life currently, rather than it being a situation where he's juggling both the idea of how does he cope with the fact that there's a new Captain America and it's not him. They gave the shield to someone else, even though he gave it away for prosperity's sake. Yet somehow, and for some reason, they undermined that and created a brand new Captain America. Also dealing with the fact that his sister is trying to sell a boat and make ends meet, and he's not capable of producing enough money in order for that to happen. Even though we do see him do government jobs and helping out the military, so then you have to wonder, so is he working for the military? Is he still part of the Avengers? Was there a trust that Tony Stark made in order to pay them, to give them basic necessities in order for them to function as the Avengers? A lot of shit like that is kind of going on behind the scenes, which makes everything really convoluted, because it adds on to the notion that these series were created in haste, not really with a full good plan thought out, especially considering the fact that, you know, a lot of this is teetering off of the actions of, you know, the Avengers Endgame movie. And that was really kind of a whatever ending that, in, like, that really had that not that much depth and complexity brought to it. But the aftermath, reeling from what happened, has a lot of depth and complexity to it. And it seems like the MCU was just kind of bumbling to even get a good grasp on it themselves. I mean, in the Spider-Man, for the Spider-Man movies, literally everyone that was important to him disappeared and then came back and was perfectly fine. None of them had any problems in life, period. Everything was just back to work as usual, which is really messed up and really stupid. But those are those films. That's the Spider-Man movies, and those are all shit. So I should say Iron Man Jr., really. But in the wake of seeing things like Falcon and the Winter Soldier, the prospect of that the government changed different regulations in order to mess with people's money. A lot of people came back and they didn't have any jobs or didn't have any homes because, yeah, those stuff would be gone because, you know, half of the population was disappeared and 5 years happened and then they had to try and rebuild. So you had, like, literally, like, there should have been people who were married and then their spouse disappeared. And then within the span of that 5 years, they could have gotten remarried and had a child. And then, bam, their spouse now pops up again and we got a problem. There's literally it's a thing that happens like that within One Piece, in the Dressrosa arc, when there's like half of the people on the island were actually turned to toys. But when they got turned to toys, you literally forgot that they even existed. So when they appeared again, people were just kind of reeling with the fact like, oh yeah, I was married. And oh yeah, I did have a husband. Oh my God, I did have a father. Just to show you exactly how twisted and crazy the guy who took over everything was. Yet in One Piece, we don't see the fallout of how messed up that country and kingdom would be, because of dealing with the fact that they kind of have to literally rebuild everything because, like, the whole island was destroyed. But within the MCU, we get that, and they're kind of a big clusterfuck going on right now. Essentially, it's all reeling down to just that Iron Man was a selfish asshole who had absolutely no type of foresight, and his ridiculously selfish wish of just keeping his daughter ruined the lives of literally billions, and it led to an avalanche of just terrible shit happening from here on after, which he selfishly would not have to deal with because he killed himself. That's a horrible way of putting it, Daniel, but hey, they're fictional characters and I don't give a fuck. Also, I don't like Iron Man, but it really boils down to just that, you know, it's all Iron Man's fault. Everything is Iron Man's fault because he had a selfish wish. And it should not have happened or went down that way, considering just how big of a fallout that we're having within the MCU. And then it's kind of even more jarring because different realms of the MCU are showcasing the incident after the fallout from Endgame. The blip, where everyone got dusted, basically having a different effect on different people from within different mediums within, you know, I'm going to say with the different, but throughout other things within the MCU since Endgame, we're seeing different viewpoints on exactly how the blip has affected people. But in the grand scheme of everything, none of it is good. There's nothing positive about the fact that we brought everyone back regardless, but we kept everything the same. Like, we just brought the people back, but we did not go back to before they all disappeared just to keep Iron Man happy, who ultimately at that point in time, you should have just told him to go fuck himself, because any sound person could have told you just like how big of a no or a fuck you that concept really is. I'm not going to help you unless you promise that you're not going to go back to before I had my daughter. No, because that is incredibly selfish of you. The world right now is in a state that ultimately won't be sustainable with a brand new slew of people who just appear and then you expect everything to be hunky-dory. That doesn't make any sense, but that's exactly what he wanted. And it was incredibly selfish and incredibly idiotic and stupid, but everyone agreed to it. And now everything else that we're getting within the MCU was the fallout from that. And they're basically proven to be stupider and stupider situations and consequences behind it that ultimately could have all been avoided if they just didn't indulge in Iron Man selfishness. But that's what happened and that's where we're at. So having the beginning of the Falcon and the Winter Soldier essentially showcasing that the Falcon is now hard pressed for money and can't even, and is trying to just keep a boat that's his family heritage around, but he can't because they can't afford to keep it, despite the fact that he works for the government, he's also an Avenger, and he has absolutely no type of money, like, saved up or anything like that, or, you know, there's not S.H.I.E.L.D. giving him kickbacks, or someone's trying to, you know, there's not a fund to help him with paying with anything or stuff like that. But it's revealed that, like, you know, they say, like, you know, Avengers had, like, a giving type thing where, you know, people donated money and gave to them for what they were doing. But that ultimately was what they were going on. But kind of trying to, it seems like they're trying to stay true to the whole superhero thing. Like, they're selfless, like, it's a selfless thing that they're doing. But considering that everything from Avengers started off with just the mindset and the concept of S.H.I.E.L.D. was funding everything that the Avengers were doing, because they kind of were like, you know, really another part of S.H.I.E.L.D., it doesn't make any sense now to be like, well, it was kind of a, you know, they had like a, what is it called when it's like, it's not charity, but essentially, you know, fan support or shit like that. YouTubers do it all the time. But essentially, it's that concept. And it's like bringing that to light when, in fact, you know, you had Tony Stark paying for everything. You had S.H.I.E.L.D. fitting the bill for a lot of the stuff that they used and that they did. And hell, even towards the cleanup or whatever. What was it? Tony Stark made the, what was the thing with Homecoming? Where it's like Tony Stark created a company that cleaned up the wreckage from the alien, from the battle in New York with the aliens, which ultimately led to selling of different metals and parts and things like that to be studied, researched, and looked upon. And he was basically just kind of selling them to S.H.I.E.L.D., who was then buying it from him, who then he would just funnel it into Avengers stuff, I would assume. But yeah, it was like you had a billionaire on your side and you had a government agency that was basically just taking who knows what from who knows where in terms of funds to pay for a lot of the shit that they indulged in. And now you just have Anthony Mack, you just have the Falcon just kind of being like, yeah, I don't have any money. And it just really doesn't make any sense in the long run. It really doesn't. It really doesn't. But that's how they start off the story with him. And you got it to where people know who he is. His popularity as an Avenger is booming. And it's a major thing because he is a major hero. But you just have him falling on hard times. And it's like, it doesn't make any sense that he would be falling on hard times, all things considered. But he is. And we just got to go from there. Now, Bucky's introduction to the show was actually a hell of a lot better. Him being plagued by the nightmares of when he was working for Hydra as basically their assassin, and he basically remembers the kills, and he knows that he killed all those people, but he was unable to do anything or stop anything. And he has to deal with a court-ordered therapist who essentially a part of his plea deal. He has to visit, speak to, and talk to while he's trying to live out his normal life. And in doing so, you then also get to find out that, yeah, he's doing whatever he can to try and make right the wrongs that he committed, even though, you know, he's punishing himself, or like he feels like he needs to be punished for the things that he did, but it was out of his control. But like this is what we've gotten from Bucky's character throughout the times that they've shown him in the MCU. You know, he was Captain America's best friend. You know, he was a good guy. It's just that he was made to do bad things that he was incapable of stopping, and he now has to live with that. So when they introduced him and he was talking to the therapist and their back and forth and everything like that, it was actually was interesting, pretty cool. The dialogue and stuff like that, which is another plus in the show, is that this has really good dialogue and back and forth between characters, which I enjoy immensely. It was very refreshing. It was very good and energetic. And for seeing a character that essentially was never a major character within the movies, I mean, I'm not going to count the Captain America movie because I just find that movie boring as shit. And it was just like, ultimately just kind of bad. But, you know, since the MCU started doing good and they started showing him, well, since Winter Soldier, really, when they showed him in Winter Soldier, then yeah, you've basically got a lot more with like getting him as a character and getting more into his personality. And then when he started to interact with the Falcon, Anthony Mackie's character, it blew up to 100 to me, and I loved it. So his introduction into the series was a hell of a lot better than what they did with Anthony Mackie, because with the Falcon, it just raised a lot of questions as to why is this way, and who would allow that to happen. But it was what it, but like that's what it was. And then with Bucky, it was just like, yeah, this seems like what he would be going through. And then basically you have the first episode end with them introducing a brand new Captain America, which kind of did, again, much like with the Falcon shit, just raised a big ass eyebrow and just makes you go, wait a minute. You need the super soldier serum. We don't have the super soldier serum. You got a guy being Captain America. He literally just died as far as the American people are concerned. The shield was given away to a museum to be remembered and kept as a memorial. And then you immediately give it to another dude. And then you didn't even speak to anyone else in the Avengers to see if that was something that was okay in the first place. Because remember, Captain America might have been created by America, but he was his own free agent that was just helping and doing good and doing right throughout the world. So all of these things considered, the concept of them just having a Captain America regardless just seems wrong. But then the series kind of like solidifies the ridiculousness of it, because he's immediately beloved. Like, there is no opposition to the fact that he's the new Captain America. You never see that. All you get is just that he's the Captain America now, and everyone loves him, and shit's just constantly moving for him. Like, he's the guy to talk to when you need something to get done. He's the guy that everyone's going to for help, and he's the guy that's in the that's doing the missions that they would need Captain America for, or like he's following the Falcon and helping him do his missions and whatnot. And it's odd that they just kind of out of the gate did something like that. I could see that being something that they would do in the sequel to the series if they were to do it, or, you know, it was something that came up much later, or they were hinting at it, that they were trying to make their own Captain America, but, you know, they got the serum kind of almost down packed, but there's like a little bit of hiccups here and there, but they don't care. They just need another Captain America, but Falcon's just still reeling into calling himself Captain America. Anything like that. But it just, out the gate, first episode, it's a brand new Captain America. And just immediately I looked at it and I was like, well, he's going to turn bad. He's going to become evil or something. And then, like, on the second episode, as soon as he dropped, like, this one line where he says, he was like, well, whatever you do, just make sure you stay out of my way. And I was like, yeah, he's going to be a bad guy. I was like, he's going to do something evil, or he's going to get put in his place and have to figure out or get told, like, yeah, you shouldn't be Captain America. Or he's going to be like, I don't want to be Captain America. You should be Captain America. Or he'll just be outright evil. And then they're going to have to, like, stop him or kill him or something like that. But all these things could happen. But I'm just saying that that most likely they're going to happen. That doesn't mean that they should happen. Hell, they shouldn't have another Captain America. But here we are. Now, the ridiculous Captain America aside, the problems that we're getting within the series... Oh, wait, hold on. Commercial break. Okay, wasn't that nice? But the problems that we're getting within the series, or more so what the antagonists that we are shown currently are doing, are the Flag Smashers. Now, I found out that Flag Smasher was actually a villain, but now they have it as a group, which is pretty cool, you know, like kind of a terrorist group. And that's cool within the grand scheme of Captain America. I like that. But, you know, there are people who wish for the world to go back to what it was when everyone was dusted. And now that everyone is back, they believe, like, you know, the world doesn't need borders. They need to kind of go back to just all people being their own people. And, you know, so more of a problem that's caused because Tony had a selfish ass wish that no one wanted to question, even though all those people around him were supposed to be smart. More of a, like, the reeling of that, of just how fucking selfish Tony Stark's wish was. But ultimately kind of hinting at the fact that even though they're doing what they're doing and these kids kind of have the super soldier serum somehow and they have these special abilities and heightened abilities and whatever, they're still running from another threat, which I guess it's trying to be, you know, a cheeky little, ooh, I wonder who it could be or whatever, but ultimately, the story hasn't done anything yet that makes it that interesting. The villains themselves just kind of showed up. So now that you have it where it's like the villains are, you know, desperately, you know, straggling to do what they're doing, even though they're currently being hunted, it would give more, I would say it would give more depth to it, I believe. Well, I would want them to do more to give it more depth. As if, you know, you were to see, like, you know, they're stealing all this stuff, but they're doing good things with it. They're giving it to people. Like, we're seeing them do these things, and then they're just desperately running away. Because we only get a few glimpses within the first two episodes. And again, it's just the first two episodes. But just to showcase that, like, hey, they want good things to happen, but the world itself is kind of becoming this conflicted mess because of the sudden reappearance of all these people, and no one's doing anything to fix it. They're just kind of going with the motions and letting the chips fall where they may. And it seems like that's what the world is, like what's happening with the world, but it's not necessarily what the Flag Smashers are really standing for. You just kind of see them stealing medicine and stealing things like that. You really haven't got a clear, concrete idea behind, like, what they're... purposes, what they truly want, or like how they're going to go about getting it. It's just like almost like refugees stealing from the military in order to help out like a small village of people, and that's the best they can do, you know. But it's like we could do more, we would do more, but this is the best we can do, and you kind of have to deal with that and as the series is going, but whereas the series is showcased within the first two episodes. But I hope they do more to showcase more with the Flag Smashers, because I would like for them to have more depth and complexity as a group. That would be much appreciated. Now, reeling into the second episode, the Falcon and the Winter Soldiers, Anthony Mackie and Bucky's... Anthony Mackie is not the Falcon's real name, but I know the actor's name, so it's Anthony Mackie. But... The Falcon and Bucky's back and forth is some of the best dialogue they've had the MCU in a long time. I liked the quirky cheesiness of what they had going on in the WandaVision in the first two episodes, because it fit perfectly within the shows that they were trying to make fun of and emulate. And all in all, what they had going on in the very beginning, I thought was incredibly wholesome and nice and ingenious, and as it led to a lot of moments of just wondering exactly what happened, what are they doing, what are they getting into, and it just had a perfect blend of dealing with the I have no idea what the hell I'm looking at right now, as well as this is still a funny, interesting story, let alone the fact that I know who these characters are, but I don't know why they're here right now. Now, with the Falcon and the Winter Soldier show, you should be aware of the relationship between Bucky and Sam. Isn't his name Sam? Yeah, Anthony Mackie. I'm sorry, I just can't. It's Anthony Mackie. But you should be aware of their relationship. And so having them just kind of immediately go at each other's throats, go back and forth, they got their own way of doing things, they have their own way of doing things, but at the same time, they both were real close friends with a guy who they respected like crazy. And it's like, we don't like each other, but I gotta respect you because he respect you. And then that's really a moment that kind of comes clear when a Winter Soldier brings that up to Anthony Mackie, when he was like, if he was wrong, if Steve was wrong about giving you the shield, then that means he was wrong about you as a person. And if he was wrong about you, then what if he was wrong about me? What if I can't change? What if I'm a killer? You know, and it's like, what if I'm always going to be Hydra's little errand boy at heart? You know, and it's like, yeah, so it's understandable why. And then it hit home, and it made it that much more understandable as to why Bucky is so adamant in being upset at the fact that the Falcon gave up the shield. He didn't want to continue on being the mantle of Iron Man. And then now he's struggling to do something, and he's acting as if it's not that important that someone else has the shield. Like, he really couldn't be bothered. And it's just, it added on to it. And then considering that you have the Falcon dealing with the fact that he is almost in contempt of the shield, that he feels as if he's not capable of wielding it, like he shouldn't be wielding it, like it does not belong to him, so he does not wish to own it. But the fact that it is now with someone else that he doesn't even know, let alone believes is deserving of it, is something that upsets him, but he can't really show it because he has other things to do. Now, if they piled this on in the second episode, along with more talks of him either calling his sister, talking about the boat, or still contacting other people in order to try and get money and loans in order to pay for that, that would have added to his character, I believe. But that kind of just went away. And again, only the second episode. So hopefully in the third, they do more with it. They're giving them actually some really good character depth that you didn't get from Captain America Winter Soldier or Captain America Civil War. It's a good chemistry that they have. It's incredibly funny and incredibly entertaining. And the more I see them together while I'm watching The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, the more I get annoyed at the fact that this is a show. In all intents and purposes, this really could have been a movie. It seems like it should have been a movie, and it just like essentially like a two-parter movie at best, if you wanted, or just a pretty long movie at that. You know, like a 3 hour or something. I believe that the Snyder Cut kind of changed the game in terms of the length movies need to be now, especially comic book movies, if you want to tell the story correctly or proper. And since everything is now in the digital age, movies, studios shouldn't be as threatened anymore to have a certain runtime, or just like to shorten their movies and whatnot. And they should feel like, hey, you know, people sat through the Snyder Cut, which was literally the remake of the same movie. Like they literally watched the same movie, just had different scenes. And if they were willing to sit through that for approximately 4 hours, then it really doesn't matter how long we, you know, if we got something good going, then we got something good going. But by the chemistry of The Falcon and Winter Soldier alone, I would have loved for them to have their own movie together. And I feel like they could have pulled it off because Anthony Mackie is a fantastic actor. He is a star billing actor. Some people might say no, but hey, they're not me. But I believe, like, yeah, he can carry a movie off of his merit. He has that charisma. And the dialogue that they have going on in The Falcon and the Winter Soldier just really pushes it so much more, as it could have been its own thing that would have been greatly enjoyed by a bunch of people. Now, the problem with what's going on with it right now is that, you know, the series was introduced after the horrible finale that was the WandaVision. You also have everything that's crazy going on with Disney, the slow pacing, and kind of the people just kind of get tired of the whole waiting a week to look at something, especially if it's like, you know, much like with myself, I've been hurt before. So, and then a lot of people now are kind of on the fence of even looking at something from the MCU done episodically, and are just, you know, far more willing to wait until it's all over with and then, you know, binge it in one quick go. Which ultimately I think would have been in Disney's best interest to show, to have every episode of The Falcon and the Winter Soldier released, or the smarter opposition would have been to release it a week later after the Snyder Cut came out. I'm pretty sure corporate-wise, it was probably assumed that The Falcon and the Winter Soldier would get the, would be the far more talked about thing that came out digitally. And then the Snyder Cut would have been an afterthought, proving anything else but just being a better version of the Justice League movie, and then people appreciating it. And then Disney, I mean, and then Warner Brothers kind of pounding themselves on the back. But the opposite happened, and the Falcon and Winter Soldier went to the wayside, and now Snyder Cut is the only thing everyone wants to talk about. And for good reason, really. The Snyder Cut, don't knock the props of the Snyder Cut. Like, it, you know, it's the same movie, but it did good. It did good what it did. And I'm never going to take that away from it. Because, like, it's a far better movie, and it's a lot more enjoyable, really. Yeah, and it still has its hiccups, but it's like, it is still the Justice League movie. There really wasn't nothing that too great about it. But what they got going on is actually still entertaining and still good. But I mean, hell, there's still parts of the original Justice League movie that I liked that they didn't have in this movie, and I was like, oh, well, I wish they would have kept that in. But, you know, that is what it is. But it's just with The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, I can see and I understand that, yes, this is kind of a duo that is this is like this reluctant duo, and they pull it off perfectly. But it's like I said, the more I keep watching it, the more I just feel like, hey, this really should have had a movie, its own separate movie. Or I really want to see more of their interactions with one another. So hopefully we still get more of that. It's sad that this show has 6 episodes that they're going to air rather than 8 like WandaVision. Is it 8 or 9? I believe 8 like WandaVision did. And then considering that this is far more action-oriented, and I'm liking the characters back and forth, this is turning out to be a far more interesting story. It has its major hiccups because it is an MCU thing that's being convoluted with their own universe. You know, like, that's a thing. But for the most part, what I'm seeing, I'm liking, and I think it's okay. But I must reiterate, I've been hurt before, so forgive me if I'm skeptical, but essentially, that's what Falcon and the Winter Soldier are dealing with right now. A hell of a lot of skeptics who have been hurt before, and they're just waiting to see if they're going to get hurt again. But I do want to go on record and say, much like with WandaVision, the first 2 episodes are okay to me. This just has a lot more holes than the first episode of WandaVision did, but, you know, plot holes and whatnot. But And I mean that in the literal sense, not in the fake crap when people just say that for no damn reason. But yeah, like there's things that just don't add up because of the MCU itself and what's happening and what they got going on. I already explained that. But yeah, but it still is an enjoyable watch. And so I'm going to still stick with it. And I think that it's okay. It's pretty good. You know, it's pretty good. Hopefully it just stays the course. But again, I've been hurt before. And when I've been hurt, Disney drops the fucking ball. So with that, I'm going to end this one here. This has been another episode of Fun with Flame. I've been your host, Daniel the Flame. And as always, good people, I hope you had fun.